gents, and welcome back to the Beyond Retro podcast. I am Nathan Kennedy, and I'm here with new look Joe Amato. He's been inspired. Joe, tell us about this mask.
Yeah, this mask, you know how I have my Modulok mask. So when I was at the store, I was looking for something similar to that. Not saying this is replacing what I would do on Fans of Power, but I was like, you know, something inspired, red, get some white teeth on it, has the black kind of hood, can still do the scarf. I was like, it still works. So this would be the mask I use for Beyond Retro. Don't think I'll use it for Fans of Power, but I don't know if I ever tried some different modifications, maybe. But I think it works good, and I can breathe.
Yeah.
I can breathe. You can see the eyes a little bit, and it seems like it works.
Yeah, and if you sweat in it, it's not going to, like, just deteriorate and fall apart.
Right, it ain't going to deteriorate. And the other thing is how this mask is with, like, this, like, foam that they put, like, right here on the head and around the jaw.
It actually has a separation.
Yeah, it separates, so it's not just sweat pouring onto my head and everything from the mask. It can breathe, so that's why I wanted the eye holes, because I was thinking, should I cover the eye holes? But I was like, well, if I do that, then it's just going to keep all the heat inside, so this works.
And people can see your eyes, and now that I'm kind of looking at it, it's almost like we have the same eyes. Same color and everything.
Long-lost cousins, you always said the crazy same kind of hair. You know, it's a possibility. Mm.
To be fair, I don't really know what Joe's hair looks like now.
He just knows it's like a dirty blonde brown. That's pretty much it.
You know what? I'll just contact one of the cashiers at the Hot Topic in Parts Unknown.
See? There you go. You can do it.
Yeah. I'll be like, we'll get a sketch artist, and I'll be like, just fill this out, and there we go, and I'll post.
Could you imagine the sketch artist draws the Modulok mask, but with hair? It's like, still, even with the sketch artist, you're not getting anything
There you go, ladies. He doesn't take the mask off, even for that. Everything else is off, but the mask stays.
Got to keep the mask on. This episode, we're going to be talking about a movie that, for me, now, this is what I was going to ask you. I was hoping maybe you'd know the answer to. I remember waiting for this movie, like, for a year or two, thinking, oh, man, it's going to come to theater, And then it was, like, never happening. And I was like, is this movie just canceled? And then all of a sudden one day, I can't remember if I was at the store, it was just there on DVD. And I was like, well, what happened to the theater or the theatrical, you know, release? Do you know what happened with that?
Why it never went to theaters? I would imagine that that's a case of a very, very limited theatrical run. For me, with the film, it was kind of finding out about it on the movie websites that I would frequent at the time. I think this came out in 07, so, or 08 ish, somewhere in that time frame. So I was a frequent visitor of joblow.com. That was like the go to for that. And it was always, here's the writer from X-Men 2 and Superman Returns, and Bryan Singer's producing it. It's going to be this anthology film. I was like, all right, yeah. Like, I've always dug anthology films. So it was kind of like you, but at the same time, I knew when the DVD was coming out. And at the time, I was a pirate. So anytime that would happen, a good 2 weeks before its release, it would show up on the site. So I gave it a download, gave it a watch, fell in love with it, and went and got the DVD. And I want to apologize to all of the viewers and listeners when this goes out on Podbean if I sound a little stuffy. Yesterday, I went out and mowed the yard, and the grass is like kind of half dead, but it's got some tall spots in the grass. And not to mention, we went basically from 90-degree weather, and yesterday it was only, like, 62 degrees.
Yeah, sure. Around here, too, ups and downs.
So
yeah.
I think it's kind of, like, messing with the stuff, and I woke up, like, an hour ago. So apologies if I sound really stuffy. But
you sound fine.
So with you, it was just expectation, then you just walk in the store, and there's the DVD. You're like, oh, shit,
yeah.
Yeah,
because I was thinking, all right, they've been, you know, hyping about this new movie, Trick or Treat. I was like, it looks pretty cool. You know, we haven't seen a good kind of like Halloween-ish, scary, whatever kind of. I didn't even know what the real vibe was. I just remember kind of the previews. They get talking about it coming to theaters, and then it was just never happening. And one day, it just bam, popped up. And well, when I got this movie and I seen it for the first time, I'm just glad all my expectations were met. It's a movie that it's, I wouldn't say underrated. It's a movie that no one really knows about, because like I said, I think if it, you know, if it went to the theaters, it would have, I think, got so much more exposure, because all you see is there's a lot of cult stuff for this movie. And, you know, they have a lot of merchandise trying to finally get some more figures out, because that little Sam figure looks cool as hell, but it's, there's a good cult for it, but I just, I feel like if more people seen this movie, they'd fall in love with it. They did a great job, but I mean, I'll pass it back to you, but I love this movie.
It's a double-edged sword for me. Like, had it got a wide release and at the time would have been, I mean, obviously would have been enjoyed by the masses, then had it reached that popularity then I maybe I wouldn't have liked it as much then. Because
what do you think?
I'm kind of that kind of person. Like, if something falls under the radar and I'm there to check it out, I'm like, oh, you know, I feel like a part of this little special group. But if it's just like a mainstream massive release and everyone's talking about it and there's merchandise everywhere, it's a little off-putting sometimes.
You feel like it's too much exposure and loses its appeal or something like that?
In certain cases. But this, I don't think that would have happened. But it's cool to think, because it did kind of start that way, and I feel like it's just now starting to reach more people, oddly enough, because
like over 10 years later, it's bizarre. Yeah,
because I went into a Spirit Halloween and they had like Sam's outfit, the sucker, like a prop and an actual sucker, outside decorations, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's nice to finally see this character get some more exposure. But I think at the time, especially because this came out 12 years ago, I think at the time I would have been a little more, oh, well, everybody likes it, so like, yeah, it's just okay. I hate that.
Well, I think definitely we would have probably had a sequel by then, because I think they've been talking about the sequel for so many years. But then it makes you wonder, okay, let's say it did come out and hit the theaters and bam, was a super hit, and then they made another one and another one, then it started getting watered down,
it's probably better off the way that it was. And you know, the director went on to do Krampus, which I thought was a fantastic holiday themed film, and then actually got to do Godzilla King of the Monsters, which was all right.
No, that was fine too, but I'd hope they can finally get back to at least doing a sequel for this, because you know, this one, it's one of those stories again, it's like not like separate, if it's separate but still the same, meaning they kind of start interlocking, and that's what I liked, is once as you watch it, you see how this connected to this part and this part. I love the new character, because you know, after I seen that, and then I seen that little cartoon short, I don't know if it was called Season's Greetings, if that was the little cartoon featuring Sam, and I think that was supposed to be what was first or his first thing into it, but hearing how he wanted to create, you know, a kind of like, in a way, a mascot for Halloween. He said, you know, Halloween, yes, we're known for always the scary characters. You know, if you could say Frankenstein, Dracula, blah, blah, blah. But there's never been an official real mascot kind of, in a way, for Halloween. But he said he started noticing it always seemed like there was like pumpkin type characters. And he came up with the idea of Sam. But because Sam, as you've seen in this movie, it's not, you know, because I wonder, like, well, what is his main role? Is he just, and then obviously he just must be the spirit or essence of Halloween, and you got to follow the rules right, otherwise he's going to intervene. But I'll pass it back to you, but just a good ass movie.
Well, I think when I was watching it, I was kind of like, well, is this a kid? And we're going to say right now, if you have not watched this, spoilers ahead. I mean, the movie's 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You probably,
you would have seen it, hopefully,
if you've not seen it, go check it out and then and come back and watch this, because spoiler heavy. So here we go. I always thought, on the first viewing, I was like, well, damn, this little kid's kind of crazy. But as it turns out, it's what would you even say? Like, it's not really,
I'd say like a demon. It is. Yeah. It's like some kind of demonic monster, almost, you know, like we said, a spirit of Halloween. Because, yeah, when that mask, when that burlap sack comes off and you see what's there, yes, that's freaky. Because I thought it was just a little kid, because he looks like a little kid and go, you know, trick-or-treating, and you know, it's some of the subtle things that I guess the first time I seen it I didn't pay attention, then I watched it again with the volume up. Like, I think when he was dragging his like little sack, I thought I heard a cat meowing in the bag. Am I right in saying that or no?
I honestly I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it wouldn't surprise me, but when you were saying if you don't follow in the spirit of Halloween, then Sam will intervene, and that's kind of established at the beginning of the film when this young couple's walking home and they're kind of drunk, and dude's like, "All right, yeah," and she's like, "Can we take these down now? Halloween's over." It's like, you got to leave them up. And then he's all kind of disappointed because I think he's wanting some sex, and she's like, "Go put the tape on." And while
he didn't want her to blow out the candles on the jack-o'-lantern.
And that's kind of how you get introduced to Sam, as we're seeing from his perspective looking on. She blows out the candle and the pumpkin. You hear an audible gasp, and she's starting to tear the shit down. And I think. You don't even see the kill, but it's really
just quickly, like within the sheets. It looks crazy. You don't know what's going on, but you get what's going on.
Yeah. So like he jumps on her and they're fighting, and we got like the sheet on top of them. These kids are just walking up, and then he pulls out that sucker that's got a bite into it and just slits her throat. It's great. And the kids just scatter and run away.
Yeah, because when they went up, I can't remember, all they seen were sheets around and everything, and you're right, then they're seeing some blood, and they're out of there. The boyfriend comes out and then starts taking off all the sheets, and there's his wife up there, and then he gets it too, but you're right, when it starts going from one story to another, I like kind of the twists of the things, because what was the next story, the one with the girls then, that, you know, you're thinking that the girl, they're talking about it's going to be her first time, she's going to this party and get together.
Yeah, okay. And they're in the changing room, and the little kid's trying to, like, get a peek and see some titties, hopefully, which we didn't, which that would have been cool, but...
we'll still get to see something later, though.
Yeah, and then that mom is just like, "You guys need to watch what you're saying and doing and blah blah blah," and they're all laughing, but it's at the time I had a pretty big crush on Anna Paquin because I liked her as Rogue. I saw some scenes from True Blood. I never watched the show, but I saw the important bits, at least for me. Anyway, so I always had a crush on her, but hey, her friends are pretty good looking too.
Oh yeah, all of them.
But it there is, and I think that's what I appreciate the most about this, is all the stories intertwine, but not only that, they give a lot of misdirection. Like, you think it's going one way, you hear this part of like, "Oh yeah, well, it's my first time," and "Well, you just got to find the right one," and all that. And you just assume that it's like, she wants to find like a good date, and you see like the other girls just hitting on like the TV crew, the camera guys. It's like, "Hey, you want to do it?" "Oh yeah." In most cases, because dudes are dumb, it's that simple. It can be, anyway.
Yeah. So you are. You're just thinking the whole simple story of she's gonna lose her virginity. It's gonna happen at some kind of Halloween party, but then in between this, it cuts to another scene where you see the kid going down the street, and he's knocking all the jack-o'-lanterns down. He's, you know, taking candy, and he goes up to the one house of this one guy who's, it's his principal, right?
Yeah.
Is it the principal?
He's his principal, and he's talking about, "Hey, you shouldn't do this shit," and the kid's just like, "Oh, whatever."
He's giving rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I like, because they're telling everybody, if you kind of look, it seemed like, for the most part, was kind of telling a story about, you know, things you should follow and traditions of Halloween. And as the one kid sitting there next to his principal eating, he starts feeling like, "Oh, something wrong with you?" And then the kid starts puking up, and just puking up all sorts. It looked gross. I almost thought it was like blood and chocolate.
And it sounded gross too.
They made real gross.
Yeah. Whoever mixed the audio or did the certain tricks to make it sound nastier did a fantastic job. Cause it just,
yeah, that was, It was nasty. But that guy said, "And you should always remember the other thing. Remember, always check your candy." And then this guy turns out to be like a murderer, kind of a nutcase. Yeah. And he's somebody that likes to, you know, kill kids or people. And you hear, and the thing, what was he going
to
say?
I was going to say, which leads to one of my favorite parts of the film, when he's actually burying, like throwing him in a hole in the backyard with the other bodies, and his son pops out of the window and he's like, "Billy, you got to be quiet." And he's like, I want to go trick-or-treating. And he's like, just shut up. Go watch, like, Charlie Brown. And he's like, Charlie Brown's an asshole. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
And I love my damn Charlie Brown. But yeah, but I do like that because he keeps wanting to talk about, you know, carving the jack-o'-lantern and help me with the eyes. And his dad, he says he has to do something later, like go to a party. Mm-hmm. But finally, and there's a scene with the neighbor and a dog. So even that connects later at the end, which I always like seeing it from the other side.
Spike,
you know what I mean?
It's get back in here. Spike, what are you doing?
It's genius.
Taking a shit.
This whole it's great. I tell you, the whole movie's genius. But I like how it got to it quick to where they show the father go inside, mm-hmm. and you know, and then the son scares him with the mask, and then you know he's like, "We're gonna carve the jack-o'-lantern." So they're going down they're carving something. They got to carve. I couldn't remember if he said jack-o'-lantern. He might have said carve whatever. And he's got to help with the eyes. They're going downstairs. You see the father with a knife in the back of him.
And you're just like, "Oh yeah, son." Like, oh shit.
Yeah, and I thought he did because he raises up and then clump. And you heard that nasty sound. He pulls it up and there's blood. And then it ends up that he cut the head off of that one kid that, you know, he poisoned with the chocolate. And so his son's going to be a little lunatic, too.
Which you kind of get a hint of later on, which I hope if they do follow through eventually and do a sequel that they continue his story. But even before he goes back in, when we had the establishment of the neighbor and the dog, there's the scene where he's at the window saying, like, oh, help me. And he's like, screw you. And then and you're like, well, what the hell's that about? And then it comes back.
And you couldn't even really hear it, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it kind of like muffled?
You just see him like doing that, but
and then something hits him.
Yeah, but it's cool how it comes back to that. And also funny how he, another kid's not dead in that hole, and he has to end up killing it, and he cuts the finger off and throws it to the dog to get the dog to shut up.
Right.
I think, before I go into probably my favorite segment overall of the whole thing,
you're probably gonna like the part with the kids and the bus.
Let's talk about the always checking your candy and stuff. Because Joe, you are a smidge older than me, so.
Yes, we definitely did check our candy at all times. Like after we're done trick or treating. Parents would sit there, we'd dump the bag on the table and they'd inspect like all the pieces, and if there was a wrapper that looked a little funny, we threw it away. We always were usually pretty guaranteed on the candy bars, but we did look to see if there was any holes, because you know, I'll be honest, I never know if there was actually any truth, because where I grew up I never heard anything on the news, but how the news would say stuff in other states, they made it sound like bad stuff. And when you remember in Halloween 2 with the kid with the candy, with the apple and the razor blade in his mouth, you know, you were paranoid. So yes, we did inspect candy.
I mean, my parents did too. And for me, it was always like, if it wasn't a brand either, like if it was something that was just unmarked, because, you know, like the orange and black, what do they call them? Is it Mary Jane's or what? It's like the peanut butter, like they're actually all right. They're not bad, but I would always probably just toss those because I'm like, I don't know.
And the popcorn balls, if we ever got those, we never took homemade stuff.
No,
we threw that stuff
away. Yeah, no homemade stuff. But were there any close calls or any like bad trick or treating experiences?
No, all the every trick or treating experience was just great. It was, but you know, it was like you said, just
even last year, Joe. Because if you guys haven't gone back and checked our back catalog of our other podcasts and shows, some of you may not know that Joe still goes trick or treating.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you could get free candy, and I'm just saying, you go out there and get it. Well, this year I'm going to do the same thing. It's just go quick. You go through the neighborhood. Nobody's going to know. You got a mask on. You run up there, cheeky-cheek, say a voice like that and get your candy. What's wrong with that? There ain't nothing wrong.
Joe, it's all right, so I guess we can all assume, because I think Joe alluded to at one point that he is, I guess, maybe not super tall, so he might be just short enough and using the voice that he passes off as
the
like...
The voice, the hunching over, it can work perfectly.
You hunch over, too? So they're probably like, oh,
which
man,
is a
I
little
feel
bit
so
to get...
sorry for him.
But, you got to get into the role that you're doing. And plus, geez, like I said, those kids around here, you get some big 6'5" suckers that are still, you know, treating about 14 years old, so...
Is anyone smart to it? I'm sure it's just around the neighborhood now. They're probably like, there's that fucking Amato again, just still trick-or-treating.
Not when you're putting on an outfit, man. But like I said, anything for free. Oh, by the way, went over to Kroger the other day, and they have a clearance section. And you know those 6-packs of Hershey bars that you can, you know, get? And those are usually about $3.40 or $4 or whatever. That 6-pack of big, and I'm talking about regular-sized Hershey bars, was $1. And I was like, my God. So I bought at least 8. So I got 48 candy bars. Here's the reason. It's because on the outside of the package, it says, you know, make these with s'mores, or use these to make s'mores. And they had a big display where they were having the graham crackers, the Hershey bars, and the marshmallows. Yeah. And obviously, they got so many in that display, they couldn't sell it all. So it's not like they're old, but because it's using the advertisement of s'mores, it kind of would look old.
So you're benefiting from it being a seasonal item.
There. That's it.
I still can't get over the fact that you still go trick-or-treating.
Oh, I love it. You do it. Go ahead. You and Emily do it this year. Just put on a mask, go out there, have someone get some food. Send me the candy. I'll take it.
I'm good. Plus, trick-or-treating around in this area has changed so much. It's not so much going around the neighborhood on the day of Halloween. It's always like the Saturday before, the Saturday after, and it's like the trunk or treats where it's like there's just cars on the parking lot, and I'm like, there's no fun in that. Like when I was a kid, it was exactly what you think it would be. And at the time, the neighborhood that we lived in, it was just a vast array of houses, a safe neighborhood that I can recall. There's probably some weirdos out there, but I feel bad for today's generation, because I feel like most places now don't have the traditional. I mean, we would like to give out candy, but it seems like Halloween is always on a weekday, and we both work. So
I've noticed weird things. You're right. There's some areas, like even around here where I live, there's certain parts of the state that do it on a Friday or a Saturday, like the day before or after. But here, to where I'm at right now and always been, it's always still been on Halloween. So thankfully, we still at least have the tradition. It's just on Halloween.
And that's fantastic. I think the only time it ever changes around here is if Halloween happens to fall on a Sunday and they're like, oh, we can't have this. This is a demonic day. I'm like, come on. Like, what?
I'll be honest. I don't know. I thought if it was Sunday here, thank God we're still Sunday, but it's weird. You're right. I guess different places, but Well, hey, as for candy, though, like, I wouldn't expect you and Emily to go getting candy for me, but if you could talk her into making some of them Jason hockey masks and send them to me for them cookies, I'll sit there and review them live on the show. I'll eat them, and I sure would like them.
It's hilarious, because we did this last year, sending them cookies, and I was like, Joe, like, by the time they get to you, these things are going to be, like, days old. I don't care.
They were great.
Jesus, Joe.
I was tearing into that one right there live, I think, on the show. I can't remember if it was the chocolate chip ones that she did, and I was going to town on those. So, yeah, I'd enjoy some cookies.
Oh, my God.
Well, back to the the show.
Well, you know what? You should just go get a P.O. box, and we'll just put the link down below on every episode. And it's like, hey, if you want to send Joe some baked goods or, you know, some more insects for him to eat live on air.
It doesn't take much to please me. But like I said, I enjoy every little bit. It don't take a lot to please me. So the next one of the stories is, then it goes to Rhonda. And it's a group of younger kids who are gathering jack-o'-lanterns. Mm-hmm. And they eventually go up to the house of one girl that they call a mean name, which I'm not going to repeat.
Well, they said that she's an idiot savant, which...
Yeah, I mean, but they called her, Rhonda the something.
Yeah,
but we won't say that. But anyway, so this girl, though, she is very smart, and she knows the traditions of Halloween. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll let you lead into the part, because this, that had to be my favorite part of the story, too, is this story arc. I liked it.
Yeah, so they're collecting these jack-o'-lanterns because it leads into the story of they're going to basically honor the dead. And what it turns out is, there were, way back in the day, because that's how all these stories start, there were some special needs kids and their bus driver, and the parents decided that they were tired of raising these kids. So they paid the bus driver off, and it's like, hey, if you can just go this other way and run that bus off a cliff, go ahead and do it. And
off some crazy rock quarry. Yeah.
And it leads to what I'm assuming was like Halloween, either Halloween day or like, you know, celebrating Halloween that day at school, and they're all in costume.
Yeah, because they were all in outfits. The kids
which
were all in outfits.
Which are fantastic, and also older costumes look pretty creepy looking back on them now.
I like the Dracula one. I think I used to have that Dracula or something similar to it,
So as the bus driver's going, one of the kids picks up on the vibe and is like, wrong way.
Yeah, because you notice the kid, he was saying every house number when he went by. He knows the order of them, and then when it went the wrong way, he knew it.
So they get to the point, he gets up, and God, they're like chained to the seat. I don't know if this was just a special case scenario or is this is something that they always did to these kids every day on the bus.
Yeah, I was wondering too, but maybe it was special case.
I'm hoping
for
it was just for this instance, I guess. But so the bus driver's going and checking, making sure that they're locked, giving them a piece of candy. And the kid that was counting said wrong way was actually like kind of free enough that broke away. And by the time the bus driver's in the back, he's at the steering wheel because he just wants to go home and runs everybody off the cliff, bus driver included. So I'm just like, all right, so I think it was sort of a construction site. It would have to be to have that elevator right there to go down. So they go down, they had the jack-o'-lanterns there, and basically...
Oh, wait, real quick.
Yeah.
One quick thing is, like you said, they drove, you know, off the cliff. That's how the story went, and then you heard them say that the bus driver's body was never found, though.
Yeah, they made a point to say that they... But they didn't really find the kids either, did they?
You know, I don't
can't
know.
Remember.
Yeah, I don't know if they really explained it. You would assume it how she said it, but then they made it sound like, oh, but the bus sank so deep that nobody could ever find it. So you're right, there was kind of a little conflicting parts, but they did want to specify bus driver's body never found.
They get down there, and basically what this turns into is just a mean prank to play on this girl.
On Rhonda, yeah.
And... It's my favorite part because you kind of get an idea of where this is going just based off of how they tell this story and everything. So they scare...
Oh, wait, real quick. One more, and not to cut you off, but when they go up to her house, remember all those beautifully carved pumpkins, and like she's the one that, you know, did them. She's great at doing it. So she takes her own special pumpkin, which, you know, you have to have all these jack-o'-lanterns lit. But okay, now I'll pass
well,
it back
and,
to you.
And you think about the dynamics of their friends. So we got like the bitchy girl who obviously sets us up. You got the good looking kid who is basically gonna kind of be the bait, but feels kind of bad. And then you got like the two lackey friends that they hang out with and tolerate, but they're kind of treated like shit too. So they scare her. They are in costume. They're coming out of the water and everything. And it's like, oh, it's just a...
To act like they're the kids that died there. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's just a prank. We're just messing. And then that's when shit starts to go awry. And,
yeah, that's when the kids really do come back, and everybody was like blowing out their jack-o'-lantern thing. And Rhonda, you know, is getting back in that elevator that you have to have a key for and push a button to go. And as she's in that, and you see the other kids coming, like that one girl got caught by the chain. And I thought that was kind of cool, and she got, you know, yanked back. But, you know, the one boy's up there, he's right in front of him, like, you know, open it up. And you see the Rhonda reach for the key. She starts going. But then she hits the up button, like, see you later. And she goes up like, all right, now you're going to get it. But she honored the dead, and she kept her jack-o'-lantern lit the whole time, never blew it out. And I like how with the cool thing, it was almost like it shows respect the rules of Halloween. You're going to be okay, because when she came to the top and was back up and got out of there taking her, like, a little wagon with the pumpkin, you see Sam standing over there on the other side, and he's just looking at her. And she looked at him. But it was respect, and they walked past each other because she followed the rules. She didn't get killed. I love it.
He's like, now I got to go watch some other stuff. But I do like you hear the kids, like, screaming, and then you can just hear them getting, like, torn apart. Such good sound mixing and would you call that sound design? I guess that's what they call it. In the industry, sound design. But no, nice crunchy sounds. And then this is when everything else starts to really intertwine within each other. We kind of go back to the girls and their party, and Anna Paquin's character decides she's going to stay back and find her man. And we see this Phantom of the Opera-esque looking guy who is like...
With some fangs,
which you find out because he's like making out with this chick, and then she's like, what the hell? And it's like blood running down her, and then like he's chasing her, and he's got fangs. So you're like, all right, vampire, I guess. So uh-huh, then he starts following Anna Paquin, and that
Little Red Riding Hood, by the way, that's what she's dressed as.
And they have some interaction, and that shit goes awry. Because he ends up basically, and I like the reveal of that too, because he's like laying there, like beat up and everything, and he's looking around.
Doesn't he fall out of a tree or something crazy? Like, because that's the thing. That's the twist is, you know, he's with her, and then he like bites into her. You're seeing this blood. You see, oh God, you know, she got it. And then, but you see, like, when they're back at that party with all the girls and everything, which, by the way, the one girl was her sister, the other one, and, you know, like, they not really picked on her, but they called, like, Anna Paquin's character. They said, yeah, mom always considered her
the runt of the litter. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Runt of the litter. She's dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. She's getting bit, but then when that person falls out, you see, oh my God, it's the guy that looked like the Phantom of the Opera.
They make it allude to thinking that it's her because that red... cape and everything.
Yeah, wrapped in red, and it ended up being him. And then that one girl comes up and looks and starts like pulling his mouth open. You see his sharp teeth, and she pulls them out. They were just phony teeth. And then when they revealed the face, it's that damn crazy ass principal. So like he got his. But the thing, the big twist of all this was, it's Little Red Riding Hood's, you know, first time, but it's not like for sex. It's her first kill because this is a pack of werewolves. I love that twist that they're werewolves and not vampires or whatever, and they're shedding, ripping off their skin to reveal the werewolves. And then she even has the line that he said to her earlier, I think, you know, like, what big eyes you have. So it's perfect little werewolf, Little Red Riding Hood thing. Yeah, I like that part a lot.
Yeah, the CG was a bit spotty on the transformation, but that's an easily forgivable offense.
That is forgivable, yeah.
And after that it kind of takes us right into...
Then it says earlier. Yeah. So then you know you're doing a flashback.
So we get back to the guy yelling at his dog in the backyard. And that was the good twist. Turns out the bus driver made it out after all. But
That was him.
But he's a grumpy ass old man now. And
doesn't respect and hates Halloween and is exactly one of them grumpy people. Then you're seeing, like you said, everything from then his perspective. Like when you're hearing like first him yelling at the principal neighbor, but now you see him as he's doing the yelling thing, and you remember he's like, tell your kid to stay out of my yard, which the kid ended up being Sam. But yeah, Sam, he saved him finally, so Sam finally got to see some action. So this is the one guy that really didn't respect Halloween and really did something bad years ago, because even that old man was sitting there trying to burn off, for whatever reason, this was his day to decide to burn all these photos, which it was photos of him when he was younger and like with those kids by the bus.
Yeah, and it's at this point I'm kind of wondering what the direction is going to be with Sam, because I'm on one hand, you're the entire time I'm like, well, what's under the mask? Because is this a kid? Because anytime Sam would make noises, especially that first kill at the beginning, it sounds like a kid. So I'm like, well, what's going to go on here? And they fight, and the mask comes off and reveals just like this. It reminded me a lot of like Pumpkinhead, like the design.
Yeah, he was and I like seeing, like you said, the supernatural kind of elements, like him crawling up on the walls and stuff. You see, this is not just a normal kid. It's a supernatural evil of Halloween. And I'm trying to remember. See, this is the part because I couldn't remember how exactly it began. Did Sam go up to that old man's house to trick-or-treat at any point or no? And he didn't get nothing, correct?
I think so.
Okay, the reason I'm trying to think of it is because remember then towards the end after Sam's ripping the shit out of the guy, and at one point the guy, you know, he's using the shotgun, blowing all the pumpkin guns out of him.
Actually, no, he went to the principal's house.
The principal's, okay, because I was trying to, either way, the little guy, I mean, Sam had to get him. I mean, this was the main guy to get for all the shit that he did in the past anyways, but then the guy finally, like, offers him some candy. And then he takes it, and then it's like he leaves like he was leaving him alone. And you see guy all bandaged up, but you knew there was a setup for something anyways. So then a little bit later, like some kids come up to the door, and he's got all this candy. He's got like his arm in a sling, and he's giving kids candy and closes it. And then he hears the doorbell ring again. And of course, they're all the kids that were dead that he killed. And so they, boom, got their revenge. And then, like you said, then it flipped back to kind of showing Sam how it started at the beginning, mm-hmm. where then he's right across the street and he's looking and he's seeing that one couple you've seen where they're like, oh, don't blow it out. You know, there's traditions, there's rules. So it's like, okay, now we know why Sam went over and kind of like got them. But it kind of like did a double from the beginning to the end.
Which is, that's the beauty of this whole film is you made an anthology movie that the stories intertwine. It's interesting and it's only 82 minutes long. So it's not a super long film at all. And it's just a well-crafted story. You can kind of see, because the director of this, as we stated before, was like the writer of X2 and did Superman Returns, which Superman Returns, not really a strong Superman film, but a lot of people have a fondness for X-Men 2. So it was nice to see him not only step it up, but create something that is now finally getting some love.
And it shows that you don't have to make a movie all the time, like an hour and 40 minutes or 2 hours. It's like how it was back in the day. A lot of horror movies really used to only be almost like an hour and 20 to hour 30 minutes, like max most of the time. But it was just written and crafted well. It's not like some of those, because some people who haven't seen it said, oh, is this going to be like, you know, kind of those Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt and stuff where it was like three different parts. And set. I was like, no, this is actually, it intertwines within itself. Unlike, I guess, some of the comics they did only a couple or something where those actually had different stories for, you know, Trick or Treat. But I think this, it's now become for me, even though I've already watched it again just recently, I still watch it on Halloween. Yeah. I watch the original Halloween. And I'm talking about the original Halloween. Yeah. I watched that on Halloween. I watched Friday the 13th, Part 4. And I've added this to my tradition. I didn't think there would ever be a movie that I would add to something else. And it shows that, you know, like how they say, oh, you like his stuff from the past. Not really. They did this movie damn great. Now, this has become a Halloween tradition, is watching Trick or Treat. If you haven't seen it, you guys got to see this movie. It's fantastic. I would love it if... Why couldn't they just release it for, like you said, a limited run, one time around Halloween for a weekend? Just put it in the theaters so we could actually experience it in the theaters for once and give them a little extra money.
I mean, that would be nice if they were able to, like, because, man, most things around here, the only thing that they do is Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was like, come on, man. Our local drive-in is actually going to play, what was it? Mary Bloody Mary and Boogeyman, like two old ass like Boogeyman's from like early 80s, and that movie is like from 1975. So I'm like, it's cool, it's nice to see something that's not just Rocky Horror Picture Show over and over and over again.
Sure.
But this would be cool to play somewhere. And this has also turned into, I watch this every October. Not necessarily not necessarily on Halloween, but at some point in the month of October, I always watch this movie. And up until last year, Emily hadn't seen this movie, so that was nice.
Oh, what did she think?
Oh, yeah, she liked it a lot. Because
that's good. It just shows that you can still make a damn good movie. I mean, it's just, it's sad that a lot of the horror movies they make nowadays, just something ain't. It just doesn't click. I don't know what they're doing. If they're trying too hard. Or
it's trying too hard. It's the thing right now is it's got to be like paranormal. And
those just don't do it for me. They never really held up. Like, no.
There are a select few that do, but I just like Annabelle and Conjuring. Like the first Conjuring was all right. The second one, not. I didn't enjoy that much. I haven't seen anything in past that universe. I haven't watched like Insidious or any of that stuff because there's just not much of an appeal to me. Give me some.
That's weird. You just said Insidious, and I looked at myself on the screen. I think I almost look like that kind of red devil.
Yeah,
that's weird. Okay.
But if it's not those, then they're just pushing out remakes and things, and just not much interest.
Yeah, and I like the ones. You know, and this, like I said, this just works perfect. I mean, obviously, Trick or Treat, it's honoring the thing of Halloween, so it's a perfect Halloween movie. When you think of it, I mean, you don't get many of them. I mean, we have a lot of great horror movies when you think of the Friday the 13th series and Nightmare on Elm Street, and yes, Halloween is, yes, for Halloween, but you don't get many kind of good, really, Halloween movies that fit the bill, and this one was great, and I would love to hopefully see a sequel eventually happen, and if it does, stick to the formula they did, because what was great is they didn't, like, this, like you said, around 2007 when it was supposed to come out, and I thought it even came out in 2009 because I thought there was a couple year delay, but either way, it wasn't heavily technology based. We didn't have to see somebody always on a cell phone or using, you know, anything like that. And they did have phones back then that were cell phones, but I feel like sometimes that kind of loses some of the appeal when they have this connection with all of reality. You didn't get any of that from any of these characters. So that's what I like too. And, it just kind of stuck you in.
And
you know?
That is kind of a hard part and a hurdle, I think, not just for the horror genre, but for kind of anything now. Like if you put characters in certain situations, like if they have you, like you would normally think, oh, this person's always probably got their phone on them. You have to think about it in a way, well, all right, well, how do we make sure that either their phone doesn't work or they run out of the battery dies or they don't have a proper signal or something. So you always have to work around that. And then that, yeah, that kind of like takes you out.
And maybe, right. Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that at least for me that worked for Trick or Treat. And I don't know if it was intentional, but they never really, yes, you could see how they're dressed in certain ways for some things, but since it's Halloween, you never really felt like you were in a certain time period.
Right.
Like, of course, yes, I know this wasn't supposed to take place in the 50s or 60s,
right.
But they didn't give you the sense that this had to be 2009. This could have been 1992. It could have been 1988.
Hey,
you know
I mean?
It's
you know, they did, that couple did have a VCR in their room, so.
Yeah, so I like that. When it's like, you know, hey, just a time period where you're not really even thinking about
right.
it. Just you're getting so engrossed with a, you know, a well-written movie and story, and you're just sucked into it that you forget about all that stuff. So let's hope if they make a sequel that it's just as good as the first one. Because, yeah, this
well,
is...
Well, that's what kind of worries me, you know? That's why I'm like, maybe it is best to just leave it alone and not do... But I'm sure at some point they'll be like, oh, we got to make a sequel. Because if this thing starts to gain more traction and become even more popular, I would see a sequel... Hitting the
well, the merchandise is definitely hot. So at least you know people are wanting all the types of merchandise,
which,
and hopefully we really get a good.
Aren't
we getting a good Sam figure coming up from NECA soon or something?
There's going to be two actually. There's going to be one that is like your traditional like NECA figure, like the just the plastic all around. But they're also making one with where it's going to be like cloth, the costume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
I plan on getting both of those because I missed out the first time. That Sam came out in a
me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I would have got it. You know what, like, it pisses me off is thinking of this one company called Soda Toys back in the day that did, like, Toxic Avenger. And I remember them previewing that we're going to have the Leprechaun come. And I was like, finally, the Leprechaun. We're going to have a Leprechaun figure. And then they canceled before that run ever came out. Man, was I pissed. I was waiting for that. Do you remember when they advertised that in that one magazine showing that little Leprechaun? It looked just like
the
movie.
I don't remember Leprechaun, but I remember that they were teasing a Tremors set as well. With like
oh,
a
well, Leprechaun
like a
was
Graboid. And I was like, man, yeah, that would be awesome. And then nothing.
I hate it when stuff gets canceled. The company went out, went under, and there went that. But I have at least, you know, Toxic Avenger and a couple other things from them. But
I remember seeing that Sam at Spencer's and I looked at it and I was like I'll get this but I'll wait and then it was gone when I went to go.
I bet he's a lot on eBay now.
yeah so I'm looking forward to the ones that NECA are putting out. I can't wait to get those and have them on the shelf.
All right, me too. I might have to actually save up some money and get them suckers.
I'm gonna assume that star rating wise this is easily a 5 for you.
A 5 for me, and this is not intentional. Like these movies that we're picking, that we're not intentionally picking movies to give them all 5s. But yeah, this is a 5. I love this movie. Highly recommend it for Halloween or just anytime you're in a mood for something scary.
I guess I'll separate myself from Joe a little bit, and I'll give it a 4.5.
Okay. All right.
It's perfect.
Now we'll have to see what we're going to do next week. Maybe it'll be a movie that could get a 4 or 3. You know, we don't. It's not always going to have to be ones that are super amazing, you know, to everybody.
Next
even ones
week,
we love, we don't always have to.
Axum. No, I don't think.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough sell. It's so horrible. I mean, it is so horrible. It's good, though. It's just so you can't. And don't go into seeing Axum with any expectations that you're really going to see a good movie. I think it's just meant to be bad. I mean, it's like the budget of somebody like me just having probably a camcorder. It's that bad and edited, but it's just hilariously terrible.
Nope.
I wouldn't give a 5. I'm not giving a 5 for that, but it's just hilariously terrible. So,
nope. Can't do it. I'll take a peek at the list, and you and I will talk, and we'll figure something.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so what you got to say for closing?
Well, I was going to say, did you have any customs that you're working on that you would want to talk about or share? Or?
Well, I was finishing up another copycat for a customer and a couple other things, something that maybe tomorrow I'll try to post. And because I couldn't get it done in time, but I was trying to make a vintage He-Man style crossover with Sam for this episode, but I couldn't get it done. So maybe it's something I'll show around Halloween time. But and speaking of a He-Man, we'll have a little something to say tonight in case you watch our Fans of Power podcast. Also, it's going to have like a, not a gigantic return of a real episode, but it's still going to have some relevant stuff, but we'll discuss some things for those who catch that podcast as well.
The information mini cast. It's not even going to be a proper thing. It's just going to be Joe and I talking about stuff and Well,
just to give people a little heads up on what's going on.
Heads up on what's going on. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you're not subscribed yet, make sure you hit subscribe and ring the bell so you get notified when new videos are posted or if I ever go live for video game streaming. Check out the links down below. You can download us on Podbean and find us on iTunes. Hit Joe up for a custom. Buy one of his t-shirts. And I guess I'll throw Fans of Power back down below there as well. If you're into He-Man and the Master Universe, check out that show. Check out all the things that have come before and hopefully we got a little bit to throw out in the future. You can find that at youtube.com/fansofpowerpodcast.
Perfect.
Like the video, leave a comment down below. Let us know what you think of Trick or Treat or if there are other horror anthology films that you enjoy. I know a lot of people are like Creepshow's okay and some people just don't like Creepshow at all.
Creepshow's are good. Twilight Zone, the movie. I mean, there are still some great anthology ones.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Tales from Dark Side. Even Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. Shit. There's still plenty of things. And there was that old TV series, Amazing Stories. I always loved that damn thing. I missed that TV show. As for the anthologies, yeah, all the ones you said are great choices.
I'm surprised they haven't brought Tales from the Crypt back yet.
Yeah, Crypt Keeper needs to make a comeback. I used to love that on Saturday nights.
I feel
nights.
Like that's going to happen. The intro used to scare me as a kid.
Yeah, it was. And it worked perfect. It was that nighttime Saturday night, and that, yes, definitely was creepy. I missed the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, after the intro, I was like, I can't watch it. And I knew it was like the Jack in the Box. Like, you know it's going to pop out at the end of the song.
Pops up.
And yet, every time, I'm like, oh, no, scared to death.
Then once he started talking to you, you felt comfortable when he called you boys and ghouls and all his other little puns. You felt comfortable, so.
I did. I was a pansy as a kid, though. But anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed, and until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.